gospel with you this evening. If you turn with us over into Matthew's gospel, chapter number 14, I want to preach out of a very familiar passage tonight with a little different light on the subject. One of my favorite passages in Matthew 14. Brother Lee, it has to do with Simon Peter. I know a lot about him. And the Lord, in spite of who Simon was, the Lord used him greatly. And I guarantee you, you never, most of the time, had to wonder what he was saying because he'd tell you. And we pick up this passage in Matthew's Gospel in chapter 14, verse 22, and straightway Jesus constrained his disciples to get into a ship and to go before him to the other side while he sent the multitudes away. And when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up into a mountain apart to pray. And when the evening was come, he was there alone. But the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary. And in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, "It is a spirit," and they cried out for fear. But straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, "Be of good cheer. It is I. Be not afraid." And Peter answered him and said, "Lord, if it be thou, bid me to come unto thee on the water." Isn't that an amazing thing? And he said, "Come." And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. I wouldn't throw rocks at him too much. He'd done something that me and you never have done. He walked on water, friend. When he saw the wind boisterous, he was much like us. He was afraid. A lot of folks say, "Well, that wouldn't bother me." Well, you wasn't the one walking on water. And he began to sing. He cried, saying, "Lord, save me." The thing is going to pick up now. And immediately, Jesus stretched forth his hand. Look what he done. And called him. Said to him, "O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt?" When they were coming to the ship, the wind ceased. Then they that were in the ship came and worshipped him, saying of a truth, "Thou art the Son of God." When they were gone over, they came to the land of Genesaret. You may be seated tonight. Thank you for standing on and reading the Word of God. Father, we love you. We thank you for the good day you've given us today. I thank you for the people of God, the place of God. We thank you for the Word of God tonight. And Lord, how you've blessed us so, we thank you. I pray now you let preaching be easy a few minutes. You'd help me to be a blessing. I pray you'd help us now as we try to preach. In Jesus' name, amen. And amen. Now, I preached a message here one time about Peter. As he got out of the boat and walked on the water, he went to Jesus. That Peter went overboard. I like people that go overboard for Jesus. He just was not happy in the mundane things of life. Peter was willing to do something that not many others would do. And I want to preach on him tonight, getting out of the boat, going to Jesus on this thought. The characteristics of a fanatic. The characteristics of a fanatic. Somebody say, "Peter was a fanatic." You ever been called a fanatic? I've heard folks say, "Well, that old Bible preacher, he's just a fanatic about Jesus." Thank you.
What a compliment. I looked up that word fanatic. I've heard it all my life. Well, he's a fanatic. My mama used to have a saying, well, he's just a fanatic. I looked it up. This is what it means. A person who is overly excited and interested in something. A person that is overly excited and interested in something. Now, many of you will never have to worry about being called a fanatic because you don't get excited about nothing. But I'm going to tell you tonight, there's some characteristics in this Bible story of a fanatic. And I want to say, we all ought to be a fanatic about Jesus. It is the person who's overly excited and very interested in something. Now, they're all kind of fanatics. They're car fanatics. I love the American Pickers. I love that on the History Channel. Sometimes they go in, these men, they just car nuts, car fanatics. Then you'll meet people, they're money fanatics. All they talk about is making money and what they got. And then sometimes, you know, and I lean to this sometimes, I'm sort of a gun fanatic, amen. A man needs more than one gun in case that person jams. Somebody say amen. And so there's gun fanatics. Man, there's deer hunting fanatics. There, a long time ago, I was a fishing fanatic. I loved it and still enjoy it. And of course, you know, there's also sports fanatics. Man, I go down to my son-in-law's house sometimes and he'll have on a game, and it amazes me the people that's sitting out in them coliseums in open air with no roof on. I mean, it nearly 0 degrees, and man, they're cheering on their team. I took my family to Talladega a few years ago down at the racetrack. We was going to have that driving experience. And you look around all them grandstands, how they pack out. You know why they're there? They're fanatics. They are very interested in something, and they get overly excited. If you don't believe it, just sit around. Go to a Bowden ball game. I'll never forget one year at the state playoffs I went, and Miss Renee made me go. Amen? And they had gallon jugs, and they had coins in them jugs, and them jugs is painted red, and there's about an eighth way full, and man, everybody gets a rocking them jugs. Man, I mean, they made a racket down there in that stadium. And I got to thinking, well, they're just fanatical. And so tonight, it doesn't matter maybe what you're most interested in, but just as an old country preacher, I think that we could take some great characteristics from Simon Peter in order for being a fanatic for Jesus. In other words, overly excited and interested in something. Now, this is one character of a fanatic. Notice this. First of all, you'll notice they'll show up. They can be found. Now, Simon Peter showed up that evening. And I love going to church with folks that will show up. In Hebrews 10 and verse number 19... Hebrews 10 and verse number 19. Look what the Bible says about us showing up. He said, now I believe that Paul, in my opinion, wrote Hebrews. If you'll look, his writing is so similar to the other epistles, the way that it's written. And he says, in Hebrews 10 and 19, having therefore brethren. I like that Bible word. It means that we're in the family. Thank God we're in the family tonight. He said, boldness to enter in to the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and a living way, which He, or Christ, hath consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, His flesh, and having a high priest over the house of God. Let us draw near with a true heart and full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for He is faithful that promised. And let us consider one another, or to observe fully to provoke unto love and to good works. That's one reason we ought to come to church, to not to downtrod one another, but to uplift one another and encourage one another, exhort one another, and that we get instructions from the Word of God how to live our life that is pleasing unto the Lord. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. Now, this week, I heard about a service that we'd had Wednesday night, how people enjoyed that teaching. And you know what you ought to do when these men teach you, when you are encouraged and you're helped by their teaching, you ought to go by and encourage them. Can I tell you that preaching and teaching sometimes is so discouraging? And so when somebody's helping you, your Sunday school teacher, somebody's singing a song or playing a song and being a blessing, these girls was a blessing to my heart tonight. And so we ought to encourage and exhort one another. And the Bible said, the more as you see the day approaching. What day? The last days, perilous times shall come. Honey, old-fashioned churches are being shut down by the thousands every year. Contemporary movements taking our country. Can I tell you, heresy type of doctrines is destroying our young people. They're talking about people's got an issue with banning Muslims. I wish they'd ban all of them. They're pumping poison into our young'uns. I got new issues with getting rid of poison. You'll notice if you buy something at the store got poison, it's got X wrote on it. Let you know to stay away from it. And those are heresies, and the Bible calls them damnable doctrines. They'll send you to hell tonight. Oh my, we ought to exhort one another. Notice something about being fanatical. They show up. I want to show up. Number two, not only do they show up, but they speak out. He said, Lord, if it be thou, bid me to come. You know something about a fanatical Christian when they speak out? You can't get them to be quiet. Now, your favorite ball team. I mean, if you really believe in what they're doing, it's hard to get you to be quiet about them. Lord, I know that's quiet, flatter than a flitter. But you know, I'm telling you right, man. It's hard for a fanatical to not speak out. You see, fanaticals let folks know what side they're on. And I notice this, believe, they will not change the subject. Man, because they believe it. Can I tell you that's the way we ought to be about the Lord Jesus Christ, how good He's been to us and how He's blessed us and hung and died for us. We ought to not shut up about how good God has been to us. Oh, they'll show up and they'll speak out. Look what Peter writes in 1 Peter after his experience walking with Christ, 1 Peter 3 and 15. Here the Bible says this. He said, but sanctify the Lord God in your hearts. Be ready always to give an answer to every man that asks you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. Having a good conscience that whereas they speak evil of you as evildoers, they may be ashamed that falsely accuse your good conversation in Christ. For it's better if the will of God be so that you suffer for well-doing than for evil-doing. Characteristics of a fanatic. They'll show up, they can be found. They speak out, you can't get them to be quiet. They won't change the subject. Not only do they show up and they speak out, but you'll notice they stand out. They are identified with their interest. They stand out. They wear their colors. They wear their type of clothes to let you know that they're very interested in them. Oh, it's supposed to get real quiet now. Can I tell you, as a Christian tonight, we ought to be identified as being fanatical about our salvation and how good our God has been to us. In 2 Corinthians 6, verse number 14. 2 Corinthians 6, verse number 14. Listen to me tonight. Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? If you want to have a miserable life, start you a business with an unbeliever. I can tell you countless calls I've got. Brother Ken, what do I do with this? My partner in business is not a believer. Well, you're getting a mess. And without the grace of God, and you marry an unbeliever. Now, I want to say something tonight, young ladies. If he won't go to church with you before he marries you, I doubt he'll go with you after he marries you. And so, unequally yoked together. Young ladies, you ought to not date any young man that wouldn't respect you and respect that, not only who you are, but in who you believe. Verse 16. What agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God. As God has said, I'll dwell in them and walk in them, and I'll be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore, come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord. What's he saying? He said you ought to identify with the Lord's group. Touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. Now, I want to say something. We better watch about fads of how we dress. If it's immodest, I think it's offensive to the Lord. And I'm going to tell you tonight, this Bible don't say that we got to look like that we live in a corn crib all week. But let me tell you what this Bible does say. Let folks know what side you're on. Be a light that's shining in this old dark world. A little light goes a long way tonight. A lot of you wonder why God has put you in a job with so many unbelievers. Some of you may wonder why God allows your path to cross with so many wretched type acting people. First of all, always remember this, you could be them. And number two, you can take one little light. You can put all the darkness that Carroll County's got in this building and you strike one of these little bulbs and it'll make darkness flee. You can put all the darkness you want in on top of that little light. You won't put that light out. But light will make darkness flee. Love people, but be different. Don't tell their jokes. Don't go to their beer brawls. Stay out of bad places. A young man the other day called me and said, Brother Ken, have you seen so-and-so? I said, well, there's two formulas right there what made that go bad. Number one, drinking white liquor. Number two, hanging around the wrong crowd. When you mix them two things together, you're headed to the ditch. Shake your little Baptist head up and down tonight. Boy, we must let folks know what side we're on. We're not to be rude and ugly to anybody, but we are to stand for what is right. And let our light shine. Sir, in your business deal, when it costs you money, and you give a man your word, keep your word. Ma'am, when you told somebody you'll do something, keep your word. Your word ought to be your bond. Show up. Then they speak out. Hard to get them to be quiet. You wouldn't believe the folks that told me in years of preaching, if you'd just settle down a little bit, you'd make somebody a good preacher if you'd just settle down a little bit. Just hush a little. Can I tell you it's still right? The Bible says, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. The devil would love for us to hush up about Jesus tonight. show up and they speak out, they stand out, they're identified with their interest. And then they step out. Verse 29, the Bible said, and he said, come. And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. He stepped out. No matter, watch this, the time or the weather condition, he stepped out. I've noticed a fanatic don't pay much attention to weather. Man, I mean, a man that'll go hunting and pouring down rain, and it's 15 degrees, but he won't come to church because it's raining. Priorities is wrong. I got to thinking tonight, I got to think, you know, I don't feel good tonight. I don't want to whine. I just don't. But I do anyway a lot of times. I got thinking, Lord, I just don't feel real good tonight. Then I got to thinking, you know, if somebody told me they was going to take me to my favorite restaurant tonight, buy me one of the big old bone-in ribeyes and a baked potato with some ranch dressing, I'd say, flesh, you make it an hour. What you saying, preacher? I'm saying that they step out no matter the time or weather condition. And then, I don't know if you thought about this, but they show out. You walked on the water. They just show out. Have you ever noticed down yonder, little Parker, he's got to playing ball. And, you know, I've noticed the older you get, the more crow you eat. Amen? The little Parker make a hit. Man, before I know it, I'm done popping my hound saying, "Daddy boy!" My kids look at me like, "Daddy, I can't believe you." What are you saying, preacher? I'm saying this tonight. But oh my, sometimes being fanatical, they just show out. I loved old Brother Turner the other morning. Y'all remember when he testified? You say, preacher, what's going on? He's fanatical about Jesus. He wanted everybody to know what side he's on. And he had no problem in exalting the Lord. I'm not talking showing out in the flesh. I'm just talking about showing out for Jesus and let folks know you believe in what you're talking about. You know, a preacher would never raise his voice or get excited over what he's doing. He ought to get out of the preaching business. Amen? And I've noticed that they show up and they speak out and they stand out. They step out and they show out. Then I want to say, sometimes they just seem strange. Now, no doubt some of them thought, go ahead, Peter, you on your own. They don't care what others think. That'd help a lot of y'all's worship. Sometimes you won't raise your hand, you look around, too many visitors do that. We got to get past what others think. If you're waiting to preach right for somebody to applaud you and sign your Bible, you're not going to do much for God. We got to be doing this out of our heart tonight. Something that is in us, Brother Lee, that drives us beyond this old world. I'm so glad God saved me one day. They don't really care what others think. I mean, it's amazing. Many times you can go to a game and set down a jersey with this color and a jersey of this color. Well, they don't care that and set it down. They're just going to shout that much louder. That's the way we ought to be for Jesus. It doesn't matter if the world don't like us shouting. It don't matter if the world don't like our preaching. Oh my, I'm going to tell you tonight, sometimes they just seem strange. And I'm going to say this and help you. I'm about done preaching. I've got one more point. But as a young preacher, I used to get on people that didn't worship like me. Then it dawned on me. God made me the way I am. And He made you the way you are. And everybody don't have to run, shout, and be vocal. But let me say this. When you see some of these old saints of God or some of these youngsters stand up and magnify the Lord and they just a squall, don't think they're strange. I seen Brother Donald in prayer room this morning. I said, "How you doing, Brother Donald?" He said, "I'm just waiting on a call." A lot of people think Brother Donald Hubbard was a fanatic. Amen. But I sure am glad that my paths have crossed with Brother Donald Hubbard. We need that kind of encouragement and enjoying the good grace of God where we go to church. And not only where we go to church, but where we live. You know, today at the dinner table, my grand young'un said one of the sweetest prayers you've ever heard. May seem strange to a lot of people. In a restaurant, I'm going to try my best to bow my head and give thanks to my God that let me enjoy another meal. Lastly, this thing of being a fanatical Christian, it's a great thing. Will you agree with your preacher tonight? It's a great thing to be fanatical about salvation and the Lord Jesus. A person who's overly excited and interested. Show up. They speak out. They stand out. They step out. Sometimes they show out. They seem strange. But lastly, they struggle sometimes to stay up. It don't matter, sink or swim. They're on their side. And I've noticed this. It doesn't matter how many games they've won. They're on their side. And can I tell you, I don't care how many failures and disappointments you've had. I'm on your side if you're on the Lord's side. Now watch what He does. I'll be done. John 21. Sometimes they struggle to stay up. John 21, verse number 5. Now notice here, he began to sink and the Lord caught him. Now look at him in John 21. We find him in verse number 6. They went fishing. He said to them, Jesus said to him in verse 5, "Children, have you any meat?" They got real honest. And when we get honest with Christ, things are always going to get better. They said no. He said unto them, "Cast the net on the right side of the ship and you shall find." They cast therefore, and now they were not able to draw it for the multitude of fishes. Therefore that disciple whom Jesus loved said to Peter, "It's the Lord." When Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he girded his fisher's coat unto him, for he was naked. He did cast himself into the sea. What you thought there, preacher? This is my thought. Sometimes, being fanatical, they struggle to stay up. But he tried it again. And can I tell you, you ought to do it again for Jesus. Even though he began to sink, you know what he said? "Lord, I'm going to try it one more time." And he went overboard. Boy, can you just imagine the fulfillment that he had in his life when he saw Jesus. Lord, and I want to tell you something now as you're a preacher and I'm done preaching. Some of you have struggled and you felt like that you're sunk. Go for Christ again. He's worth going overboard for. And I love Him and I praise Him. And I'm thankful one day that He saved me. And so ever how this world looks at us as being fanatical for Christ, let them talk. What we need to do is say, "Lord, thank You for how good You've been to me. Thank You for being here today."